Meet Sven.
Yeah.
He's very excited right now. Sven doesn't play poker, but he's still very excited. You see, Sven is a dealer for Porsche, and he's just found out that PokerStars players earn $7.5 million in VIP points every month. And with our all-inclusive program, that's enough to redeem 5 of the lovely pieces of German engineering every day.
Yeah!
Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to leave other schemes, well, out of commission. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Annie Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's July 24th, 2009, and you're listening to the best PokerCast on the planet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
You know what I like most about our show, Scott? Is it
the wonderful Willie banner from your co-host?
Yes, that I get to sit next to you every day when we do this, and just enjoy your company, and
yeah,
and I learned so much from you.
I appreciate you saying that. I know everybody knew it already, but yeah, it's always nice to hear
for me to say it out loud. It's like therapy. And that gets to my original point, actually, before you made your wise-ass comment. This show is like therapy for me, because it helps me get a lot of stuff out there, off my chest, about things that happened to me in the poker world, and I'm so glad I have this vehicle to drive down the street and park in the...
All right.
So, you know how you and I like to do road trips where we want to go and see all of our local rooms and rooms on the other side of the state? Tom McAvoy was in town, or in state, I should say.
Future Hall of Famer, hopefully.
Hopefully a future Hall of Famer, a main event champion, the current first ever Binion Cup winner.
Did he pull up in that sweet-ass Corvette?
No, actually, if you tune in on August 7th, I'll tell you what he did with the Corvette. He's going to be on our show then, and I play the interview for him for the Antioch Nation. But so I drove over to West Palm Beach to hang out with him, interview him, play a little bit over there. And then I thought I'd go to the Palm Beach Kennel Club, too. So we're at the Palm Beach Princess and the Palm Beach Kennel Club. Right? What the hell? Might as well go over there and play. So I had a bunch of hands that I want to bring up, a bunch of things that happened to me that I want to bring up, because right after that trip, on my way home, I essentially went back to Sarasota and went down there and played, too. And the two trips, Scott, it was like I was Bill Murray and it was Groundhog Day.
So
eerily similar.
None of these hands that you're going to talk about, Chris Cosenza won.
No, I didn't win any hands. And you know what?
I just went out on a limb there.
And I lost money on the trip, so everybody out there whining that every type story I tell is, you know, that I won the hand or I made more money. No, I lost every freaking hand on this trip, and I lost a ton of money. Y'all happy now? There. Okay? I lost a ton of money. I'm down. You know, the company is now, like, in arrears. We may not even be able to put out the September issue of the magazine. We made it 1 year, and that's it. But really, this was just, it was a horrendous trip. But I'll try to tell the stories real quick.
All right.
After I interviewed McAvoy, I played in a tournament, a little sit and go.
Mm-hmm.
Got knocked out early. This was uneventful. But my wife won it, which is pretty cool.
Awesome. Somebody has to pay
somebody,
the bills.
She's definitely the best player in our house, I tell you. But so she won. And then they said, well, let's make it a cash game table now. So let's make it 1-2. So we played 1-2, and I was playing pretty well. I was up maybe $25, whatever it was. And all of a sudden, they make the announcement, 3 more hands, you know, we're docking soon. So I'm like, all right, first 2 hands, I didn't have anything to play. Last hand, I'm in the big blind. Everyone comes in. Everyone comes in, and they all limp, okay? So it's like 9-handed, maybe 8-handed. I look down at 2-6 of clubs.
Power hand.
Do 6 of clubs,
power
man.
Hand.
That's a beautiful hand, because usually you flop some sort of gut shot. Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, all right, I wrap the table, and let's see a flop, right? It's last hand, I'm going to quit, whatever. Comes 2-3, comes 3-4-5.
That's a pretty good flop.
And the 3 and the 5 are clubs, Scott.
That's an even better flop.
I have the straight flush draw, and I have a flush draw, okay? So, I bet out.
Of course.
Because all these people are playing, you know, they're all going to have some sort of...
All right, this is the action hand of the
so
night.
So I'm like, all right, I'm going to get some money back because I had like 80 bucks on me or something. I was actually down at that point. So I bet like, I don't know what it was, maybe 10. And a lady next to me calls, gets around this other guy who raises to 50. Raises to 50. I got the stone cold nuts with like 875 redraws.
Yeah, did Vince Van Patten show up on an old dinghy outside and pop his head in and go, bingo, bango, bongo?
Actually, it was Mike Sexton who said
that's
that.
That's right.
But I was like, you know, Vince Van Patten said, you know, show tunes going off my head because I'm thinking I got pretty much not the mortal nuts because obviously a better straight's out there, but really, did this guy really have a better straight than me? And even if he does, I got redraws.
I have a feeling that they were the mortal nuts because you're going to lose this hand.
No, they weren't the mortal nuts.
So
I call.
Because you're not immortal.
Well, actually, I didn't call. I just put the rest of my stack in because it was only like
$8.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to save it for the buffet?
Yeah, no, exactly. So the lady next to me says, well, there's only one hand that beats me, so I call. And I'm like, only one hand that beats you? Do you have the same straight as me, I'm thinking? And then I'm thinking, oh, she probably has a set, and she's not seeing the straight, right? Yeah. So I'm like, oh, my God. So she calls, and now the other guy calls. You know, he calls my extra $6, whatever it was. It wasn't a legitimate raise. Turn is the ace of clubs. Now I got a flush, but I'm not that happy because they can have a better flush draw, right?
Exactly.
River is a three of hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Lady turns over pocket fives for a boat. He turns over 3-4 for a smaller boat. And I come in last. I go broke on the last hand of the night, and I was literally telling myself, don't go broke on the last hand of the night. So, all right, whatever. I say, screw it. You know, I had a good night. I had a good interview with Tom McAvoy. You know, I'm getting paid mileage for this trip. Whatever, you know. So I go home, go to sleep, didn't lose a wink of sleep over it. No big deal. What the hell? I had to do it. I had to play it that way. So next day, I go to Palm Beach Kennel Club.
Right.
Going to play in their $200 10K Super Stack. Awesome structure.
Yeah, it's a good tournament.
Awesome structure.
I finished second in that last
You won.
Did you finish second?
Cash. No, I'll tell you where I finished.
Okay.
I finished exactly 10 times that. I finished 20th. There was like 50 people in the tournament. Okay, I was running over my first table. They were so tight. I was bluffing. I was stealing. I was re-raising. I was, you know, re-stealing. I was doing all this cool stuff. And I'm like, this is how you're supposed to play poker. Everybody, lay down to me. This is great. I love this. Right? They break our table. It took forever, too, because they had slower structure.
Did a fat guy sit down?
No.
You mean they
split up and moved us around. So the next table I go to, everybody has, like, a stack that's four times the size of mine. Okay? And there were some terrible players there, and there were some great players there.
Yeah.
So it was like a weird mix. You really, if you wanted to enter a pot, you really had to enter it strong, but you were hoping the weak guys would come in. So it was a weird table. Ultimately, I'm trying to make this quick, and it's hard to do, but ultimately, there was a guy at the table who kept, like, not min-raising, but it was like a 2.5 faso raise, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I looked down with like eight big blinds left. I looked down at ace queen suited, and he made it 2.5x.
Right.
Folds to me in the big blind. I shove with ace queen suited.
Right.
Insta calls me. Okay, and for him,
you're in trouble now.
He had to call like 11 grand more when it was like 500 and 1,000. Okay, so that's a pretty significant call. Insta calls though, so I'm dead, right? Nope. King nine off, right? Fade the flop, fade the turn. River's a nine. See you, Chris. Have a nice trip all the way back to the other side of Florida. Okay? So I go down to cash games, play the cash games, had pocket kings, got it all in pre-flop with a guy who had pocket fours. Can you believe it? Flopped a four.
Yeah.
And I'm out another $100. So,
that's
all right.
Poker.
Have a great trip, Chris. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. Okay? So I go to Sarasota a couple days later. This is a true story. I'm not making this up, Scott. I'm not making this up, okay?
How could you make this up?
I know. It can't be made up. I'm short stacked. I got like eight big blinds left. All right, we're down. Well, it's pretty early in the tournament still, but somehow it wasn't working the way it was at Palm Beach. I was trying to steal, and guys calling stations were calling me, and so I screwed up royal. I was playing like crap. But I looked down on the first one in the pot after like four or five guys fold to me. I looked down at ace ten of hearts. I'm like, oh, it's a sign from God. Suited ace, the Cosenza, and I only got like the blinds behind me. Essentially, I'll shove. Guy calls me. Instantly in the big blind. What do you have?
Trouble again.
What do you have?
Pocket aces.
King nine.
King nine.
The exact same hand.
Is it the same guy?
No, but they had the same brain capacity. Sure enough, I fade the flop, fade the turn, nine on the river again.
Wow.
The exact same way. I'm pulling my hair out.
Wow.
Right? Pulling my hair out.
And you've got wonderful hair, too. So.
Well, not anymore. Not anymore. Now it's falling out in clumps. All right?
So let me say this. So, you know, people are well aware that the Ace 10 is called the Cosenza. So are we naming a new hand? Is the King 9 the Cosenza Killer?
The Cosenza Killer.
That's what I'm going to call it.
Yes, the Cosenza Killer. That's exactly what it was.
You see a lot of that in the rebuy tournaments coming up on Apes.
Man,
I'd be pushing with King 9.
Brutalized me. And then I get into a cash game later, and I have Ace 10 of Spades.
No, wait, tell me. Let me tell you. King 9.
No.
Pocket 4s.
No.
All the same.
No.
King 9, 4-4.
This is a cash game.
Oh, okay.
So. It was going to be my last hand, just like it was in the boat. It was absolutely my last hand, okay? Because I was going to be in the big blind the next hand, and I thought, I'm just going to go home. It's around 5 o'clock. I don't hit that rush hour traffic.
Nothing comes good when you play one more hand.
Yeah, but no, it's the last hand. Not one more. It's the last one, all right? I've already planned it. I said, before the big blind gets to me, is my last hand. I looked on Ace 10 of Spades.
That's a pretty good hand for some people.
Now, at this table, raising was useless. So I thought, let me just see a cheap flop on my last hand. I had like three blue chips left.
Hopefully the flop comes 3, 7, 12.
Yeah.
And you can pick up your chips and go home.
I can get away from it.
Yep.
So everyone
limps
with me.
12 game.
Right? Yeah, 12. That would be awesome. We'd be playing some sort of Chinese game. So the flop comes King of Spades, Queen of Spades.
Nine!
Two of hearts.
Oh, okay.
I have a royal flush draw.
That's a pretty good draw.
I have any flush draw. I have a Broadway draw.
Those
any
are,
jack,
those are really
any
good
spade,
draws.
Right?
And they're
I'm
all
thinking,
nut draws.
Even my ace might be good, right? So I have, like, it was the 1-2 table there, so
right.
You could only buy in for 60 at that game. So I only had about 50 bucks left, right? I bet 7, right? Folds all around to the big blind, who raises to 20.
Yes.
What do I do, Scott? Do I just call or do I shove?
You can't just call. You got to shove there.
I got to shove, right?
Yep.
Okay. So, just like on the
and
ship.
You stand up and you go, all right, it's time for everybody to go home. And you pace around and
do the whole acting thing.
Exactly. And you wait to be sucked out on.
Just
or
like
actually,
the ship.
Not catch.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happened. I shove. He calls instantly. He had ace king in a small blind. Didn't re raise with ace king.
Oh, I like people that do that.
Yeah. Which is fine.
Just listen to the show.
Which is fine. I have no problem with what he did there because it's a drawing hand. That's fine. But and I'm not blaming him. He had the best hand. But he called my all-in. I had like a bazillion outs twice. Doesn't get there. I got like a 4 on the turn and then like another king to give him 3 kings. And I was out. And it was the exact same thing. A straight and a flush and a straight flush draw and then a straight and a flush and a royal flush draw on a cash game. So you know what? I hate flush draws. I am never playing a flush draw again. I don't care if I'm folding pre-flop. Well, suited cards, and then after the flop, if I somehow was in the blind with suited cards, I'm folding. I don't care. I lost so much money on flush draws this trip and to King 9. I know I've talked like for half the show already, but I just can't take it. I don't know what to do. How do you handle knowing that you're getting your money in either good or as a percentage favorite and still lose and deal with it? I mean, that's like 5 straight situations where I was a huge favorite and still lost. How do you deal with that? And I come away with 200 bucks in the hole, too.
Two words. That's poker. There, you feel better already, don't
that's
you?
That's kind of like 2.5 words because of the contraction
true, the
there.
Contraction.
But I feel so much better now. And I love the lead-in note to our banter item. It says, Chris sucks ass.
Yep.
Which couldn't be more true. It was a terrible, terrible trip. I mean, it was a great trip for like talking to the people and getting interviews and stuff. But
can't win them all.
I got my money in good every time and didn't win once.
You just want to win once, though.
Just once, Scott. Just once. And you know, I probably would have lost later anyway, but at least if I won that one, I would have felt better.
Oh. See, I tell you what the problem is you're focused too much on the actual poker. What you need to do is allow some distractions into your game. Like, I don't know, cleaning the house.
Like cleaning the house while you're playing.
A couple nights ago, I've been playing these $22 PLO 8 tournaments on Star tonight. They run them like at 5:30 and 7:30.
Uh-huh.
And they're great tournaments because I can play them, you know, in the background when I'm working, and I've been doing pretty well, right?
Yeah.
And two nights ago, I finished 15th.
Sweet.
I legitimately thought I was going to have a shot to win this, and of course, I missed a huge draw in the end. I 8 flush draws.
Did you have King 9?
Yeah, I did not have King 9. But still, you know, I took 3 or 4x my money, so I'm like, the next night I'm like, oh boy, I'm just jonesing to get in there. I know I can win this one.
Yeah.
But, you know,
Got house guests coming. I had the wife told me how to clean the bathroom, vacuum the entire house.
Oh,
I had to do laundry, and I'm like, oh, can I do both? Is it possible?
Oh my
can
god!
Can I pull it off? So then, to give myself no reason not to try it, I registered, and then I'm stuck, right?
Yeah.
So here I am for the next 2 hours, running around the house, dragging my laptop to the bathroom.
Oh my god!
To the guest bedroom, to the kitchen, and it was an exercise in futility, Chris.
Oh my god! I can just imagine you with like the toilet bowl and cleaner brush in one hand and the
That's
laptop
exactly.
balanced on the other hand.
I had to keep one hand dry at all times because I didn't want to shock myself or short out the laptop. But literally, I was playing hands with the toilet brush in one hand and trying to raise with ace-deuce suited with the other one.
Remind me never to use the E. coli laptop at your house, okay? Oh, my God. That's disgusting.
And it turns out I went out in 191st place.
Oh. Right?
Worst finishing ever in that tournament. So clearly I was distracted.
So don't clean and bet.
Don't
drink and
do
drive. Don't
do
clean
both.
And bet.
You can watch TV. You can read the paper. You can clip your nails.
Oh, man.
Lots of other things you can do online, but don't try to vacuum and scrub the toilet bowl.
You know, you say that a lot, too, on the show. Like, you know, you're folding clothes while you're playing, or you're watching TV, or you're doing work while you're playing. It's tough to do all that stuff. I mean, if you're going to multitask, why not just multi-table instead and just put the other stuff off till...
Yeah, because the other stuff's got to get done.
Get it done at another time.
I can't multi-table vacuuming. I can't vacuum two rooms at once. It's got to get done, so...
Oh, my God.
Poker's just kind of cool. Isn't the cool thing about online poker now?
Oh, yeah, it's really cool going on 191st.
Yeah, you can take it with you wherever you want to go.
And
if I get a waterproof laptop, I'll be in the pool playing.
Well, maybe I'll ask Sam if I can like clean the windows at his place while I'm playing
there
in his tournaments. That way I won't get sucked out on by K9.
I just
unbelievable. The doggy hand. Cosenza doggy style is what it should be called. Because that hand just killed me.
Well, there's another topic that's interesting out there. Multi-carding is what I'm calling it.
Oh, you mean more than one deck in a home game?
Yeah, there's, Hats and Eyeglasses made a very interesting post on the forum at andyupmagazine.com/forum.
And that is the official address.
It is. And everything's been transferred over, so
Thank
it's
you.
All working pretty
much.
Nicely now.
Yes.
And but he posted head-to-hand, where a lot of people in home games use two decks. You know, they have one that's being used in the game, and then after it's done, then the next person starts shuffling that one so it's ready for the next one.
Right.
You know, speeds it up, gets
right.
a lot more hands
right.
in, blah, blah, blah. Well, I guess he had a situation where the dealer didn't realize, reached down to deal the flop, and picked up the wrong deck.
Yes.
And dealt the flop out of the wrong deck, and then a whole big brouhaha over how he ruled. So it's an interesting discussion, so go out and check out that. But what I want to talk about a little bit is, because I asked on there how many people use two decks in their home games.
Right.
Because in the Antiope home game, we do not. Probably just because of me.
Gambit does in his home game.
But yeah, but Gambit runs a good home game that we enjoy, and he
yep.
definitely does too. And I posted on there, as much as I like Gambit's game, I get a little stressed out. I'm going to have to deal not once, but twice every round.
You're not dealing twice, you're shuffling.
Yeah, but still, we talked about this on the show before. I mean, the dealer's already, you got too much going on to deal and play. Now I've got to worry about shuffling and playing at the same time with two hands every loop. I just don't like it. And, you know, and the thing is, it's a home game. I am not trying to squeeze 4,000 extra hands in like, you know, I got off the plane of Biloxi and I got to get back on in 2 hours. I just don't get that. I don't think it's necessary.
You okay, buddy? Calm down. Holy cow. All right, well, here's how I feel, Scott. I feel almost exactly the same as you. When we're in Gambit's home game, especially because it's shorthanded, I always feel like I'm up against something. I don't know why it is that, but here's
a little
the thing.
Extra stress. Yeah.
But here's the thing, is it's really no more effort than it is, because you're still just shuffling once, and you're still just dealing once. It's not...
That is
true. It's still the same amount of time, but it's just, it's weird the way it comes up on you that, oh, now I gotta do it. Who's gotta do it now? And we're all kind of like, who's doing what? Who's doing that? Sometimes that happens a lot, or then it's stressful. I totally agree with you with that. It is kind of weird, yet it's still the same amount of time and effort, but mentally,
that's
we can't
it.
Handle. Our capacity does
exactly.
not handle.
Exactly. We have brains on the size of a T-Rex, so... You know, you throw too much at us, and...
And I can only react to movement. I can't see very well, either. So when someone moves the deck in front of me, I freak out, because I didn't know that deck was coming, and I got to shuffle it now, or do I deal it? What do I do? You know? Yeah. But I totally like the one-deck concept. Maybe it's because You know, growing up when you're a kid, you're playing cards with your family. You never did two decks. And
yeah,
when you go to the casino,
it's... thing went out for the gin rummy game.
Yeah, exactly. In the card rooms, it's always one deck. They have another deck for the setup that if somebody says, could you wash the cards? I want to change my luck. Then it's like, oh, okay, all right, whatever. But it's still just one deck, one shuffle, one dealer kind of thing. So maybe you're just so used to that that you throw another deck in. Just... freaks me out.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I just can't handle it.
It's the equivalent of, and what I think would make soccer much better, throwing another soccer ball on the field.
That would be sweet.
You throw another soccer ball on the field, now that game is interesting.
It's like the multi-ball feature on my little brick breaker on my
Blackberry.
Exactly,
exactly. When you hit that little thing and then three balls go spraying out and you don't know what to look at, man, you would need like 40 cameras in that soccer game to watch everything that's going on with two soccer balls. And
that would definitely make soccer watchable.
Let me tell you, America would embrace double soccer
right.
ball.
It's almost like that indoor soccer.
No, it's not like that at all.
Double ball soccer. I like it. Very good.
So anyway, that's why I always thought it would make the game better. But yet, interestingly enough, it makes poker less interesting for me. I don't like two decks either. But, you know, it's an interesting topic in the forum. People are going back and forth on it.
Yeah, so definitely chime in there and let people know if you like it and what other interesting things have happened with a two-deck game.
Well, let's see what you have stacked up there on your Antiup News Desk file.
The World Poker Tour has announced the schedule for its eighth season, and for the first time, the tour will visit Indiana. The Hollywood Poker Open, March 20th to 24th, will be held at Hollywood Casino in Lawrenceburg, Indiana.
Will Gene Hackman say, shuffle up and deal?
Oh, that would be great.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
He'd walk into the poker room and go, Hoosiers! Have it echo it back.
Let's win this one for Coach.
Yeah, and everybody that plays has to follow the team boss in.
Yes.
That would be great.
And when you come out, you run through a banner, and it breaks open. And so I wonder if they sell the actual WPT if the schedule stays the same. I guess it does, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, okay.
Shock jock Howard Stern has joined the Poker Players Alliance, drawing praise from PPA Chairman Alphonse D'Amato. Quote, with Howard Stern as a member of the PPA, it shows Congress and the public that protecting internet poker is about more than just poker. It's about protecting internet freedom and personal responsibility, D'Amato said.
You said member. That's what you feel like you're going to have to say whenever you talk about Howard Stern, the PPA. You know, it's like, is this good for publicity? I mean, it's great because he's got millions of fans, and if he actually brings it up on his show... you know, we'll get a lot of people following it, but really, it's not going to win any hearts over in Congress, is it?
Well, you know, when I started reading this story, I'm like, immediately said D'Amato loved this, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see why. I mean, maybe Howard Stern brought, like, you know, $10 million to donate to the PPA or something. But no, it's just because, you know, Howard's got this reputation for wanting to have freedom out there.
Man, he's gonna bring AC/DC with him to Washington, D.C. for a rally, and... it's going to be interesting.
And then finally, and this comes for verbatim from our good friends at Las Vegas Advisor. Want to go Phil Hellmuth on someone? Then check out Trash Talk Tuesdays in the Hard Rock Poker Lounge, where pokers encourage to slow roll losers, berate players who beat them, and generally mouth off with impunity. Note, these things are not tolerated the other 6 days of the week. So we never made it at the Hard Rock in Vegas when we're out there.
No,
but
didn't.
I wanted to check this out on Tuesday. So you can imagine that. Here's a day that... it's kind of like Internet Day in the life, you know. You can just say and do whatever you want because you've got some weird handle that no one knows. You can just be the biggest ass in the world that you want to be. But the rest of the other 6 days, you have to be a
so basically, if there's somebody you really want to scream at, you look to see if he's in the tournament, and then you go and play, you know, and then you could, you know.
And then you go, hey, I'll see you back here on Tuesday.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of cool. You know, poker rooms are always looking for an edge, so...
yeah,
you know,
that's pretty wild.
Don't know who they bring out for this, but, you know, Hard Rock, the kind of crazy kids over there.
Yeah, you know, you didn't think that the Hard Rock would need a gimmick thing, but whatever.
No, it's a brand new room out there, and there's a lot of things, so...
yeah.
And
yeah.
One of the rumors was there's going to be a huge room. They're going to add, like, I don't know, something ridiculous, like 120 tables or something.
Are you serious?
That's what I heard, a rumor.
Oh,
of course,
geez.
It's all rumor.
It's all rumor. All right, well, speaking of rumors, somebody from Sydney, Australia called us. That's where he says he's from.
I'm pretty sure it did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, because the phone number that came in was like 105 miles long.
Of course, the phone number.
So it definitely is. Let's listen to that clip and see what he has to say.
Hi, guys. This is Adrian from Sydney. I just have taken about 8 months to listen to every one of your episodes, and I love your show. The last show on the WSOP in Vegas was the funniest I've ever heard. Keep it up, guys. Love your work. And I've got another final story. I limped into a bubble, and I just sort of Scott, and I thought, fantastic, I've done it as well. All right, then, take care, guys. Thanks, bye.
See, I have a whole new legion of people that are just going to limp their way into the bubble, not cash.
That's what I should have done with all my hands this weekend. I would have been at least a couple more hands, you know, more alive, but I don't know. You know, when I did go out of my tournament at Sam's, he said, well, at least you play. Scott just gets, you know, blinded off. So even though I went out with Ace-10 versus King-9, he was like, well, at least you play. So, I don't know. I guess it's good to limp and make money, right? I mean, if you're going to make money, might as well do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And another thing that he gets for limping, a set of Texas Hold'em strategy cards.
X from greatpokerhands.com.
That's right. Way to limp.
I don't know whether we've ever sent any to Australia.
Oh yeah.
So he'll have to let us know whether the colors are reversed there. You know how things are different, you know, the lower hemisphere?
No, but I know he's going to take the CD that the show is on and flush down a toilet, and it's going to go the other way. That's all I know about Sydney. I don't know anything else. But you need to read the mailbag, because I really have no idea what the hell's going on.
Yeah, this is a true test of our poker journalistic skills. This one comes from Mimi. Not Mini-Me, just Mimi.
Just Mimi.
So he's like two me's.
Two me's.
So he's like, you know, wow. Me squared.
Okay, me squared. For me squared.
He says, I was just wondering what you guys thought of the use of HUDs online. I've never used one before and just started playing a lot online this year. When I first heard of HUDs, I thought it could really hurt my live game, because with a tool like this online, you really start to rely on it. I've recently downloaded one and made an account online to try it out, and I've noticed that already it has helped my game a little. I was wondering if you think this is a good tool for an online player to have.
Isn't an HUD a birth control device?
Yes, it is, actually. And,
or it sounds like something you need to go to the clinic for.
Yes, it prevents giving birth to other people who need online aids to help their poker game. Very effective. 99%, but, you know, abstinence is the best thing.
You have an HUD, go to the clinic. Get the shot.
And I believe it stands for heads-up display. It's part of the whole poker tracker kind of thing. It gives you real-time information. You know, it's like the E-Trade with little babies talking. You know,
yeah, yeah.
Real-time. So, you know, obviously, we're not really even familiar with this, so obviously we don't use them.
No, we don't use them.
But again, yeah, I think his first instinct was right, that if you begin to rely on it when you go and play live, if you play live a lot, then you're not going to have it there. You're not going to have that little guy, you know, going, oh, he's limped in at 62% of the pots.
Well, we can get into the whole ethic legal thing if you want to get into, where we always felt like it wasn't ethical for those things.
Well, this is a little different, because, I mean, you could actually compile this information on a pen and paper online if you want.
Well, that's what I always wonder. Is it telling you what happened during, or is it telling you how this guy's played his whole career online? Because then that, you're getting that shark scope stuff, and I don't know.
I don't know.
But I don't use it, so I really can't say anything about it.
I guess it would just, you know, if all you do is play online, then why not do these kind of things? You can settle it ethically in your mind.
Yeah.
But if you play a lot of live like we do, then
it's going to hurt your game.
I think it's going to be
a crutch.
A crutch. Yes.
Yes. I love throwing around those.
And you won't be able to park in the handicap spot either. It's not that big of a...
Well, we're going to have to give him something.
Yeah,
because we really didn't give him any help.
No. But we'll be happy to send him a lovely card protector from PokerFaces.tv. It goes right over your cards on your laptop screen. It's perfect. But maybe, you know, because you have this cool new card protector, you'll get out and play more live and decide you don't need this crutch. How's that?
That sounds awesome. All right, Scott, what am I doing right now? What is that right there?
You are hitchhiking.
That's right. I'm hitching. I'm hitching a ride along with Columbo.
To the galaxy, right?
Let's see what's going to happen here with riding along with the big guy.
Greetings. This is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is not another one-minute mystery. Welcome to Ride Along with Columbo. In this new and experimental segment, you'll be playing side-by-side with me in the daily 34K. Although following the one-minute mystery format, each week will build in last week's decision and move us deeper into the tournament. And I'll try and find a good theme song. But right now, welcome to level 1 of a multi-table tournament featuring 1,500 entries. Under the gun folds. Under the gun plus one makes it 60 to go. Mid position folds. Hijack calls. Cutoff calls. Button calls. Small blind calls. And looking down in the big blind, we see 2-2. Not really a decision here. We'll just call and see a flop. A 3 of hearts, 10 of diamonds, 2 of spades. First to act, the small blind checks. How do you want to play it?
Okay, so we heard what happened the last time we rode along with him. And you and I put our reactions down last week.
In the Andy Vault.
In the Andy Vault. We put it away today. In the vault. But we will keep it sealed, unlike some people on Seinfeld. And, well, you go first. You go first.
I'm betting out pot here. There's so many limpers into this pot. I've got a set. I want to get paid off here, and I want to keep these draws out of the way. And maybe if I get lucky, somebody with a naked jack is going to raise me, and then I can get even more money in.
I couldn't agree more. I was going to say I bet
you
at least...
You could agree more. You tried really hard. You could agree
more. All right, I'm going to agree even more with you. I would bet at least pot here, because I think that there are way too many people, like you said, who could have 8-9 or king-queen in this, and then they got in there cheaply. And I really don't want the turn card to you know, come freely for this person. So hopefully I'll get raised, and then I can shove, you know. So we'll
and,
see.
Yeah, most of the other people that are in Columbo's boss, you know, because he had to get rid of that Columbo car. You know, enough people.
Yeah,
you're
if we're all riding along.
You're riding along, all thousands of people that listen to Annie up. You got to have a big vehicle.
And if you look to the left, people, you can see where Columbo once arrested a hooker.
Exactly. So all the people on the Columbo bus, they posted at AnnieUpMagazine.com/forum. And by and large, they've all said you need to lead out here. Most of them say pot size bet is in order, though a couple suggested a check raise.
All right. All right, well, let's listen to, let's see what happened in that hand, and then see what happens after that.
Welcome back. When you see a flop in early rounds of a big MTT, you are looking to break players who can't fold an overpair or two-pair or even top-pair. So we want to build a pot as quickly as possible to ensure we get somebody's entire stack. I am not looking to win a small pot here. It's a big pot or bust, and I'm going to bet pot right now. Three folds of the button ships in half his stack for 1440, the small blind folds. Despite the fact that now it looks like this is a good place to end for another mystery, and that he might be going for my stack, much of the play in level 1 is way too bad to fold a set, or even to be much of a mystery. If he has 3-3 or 10-10 here, so be it. But I flopped a set, and I want chips. I simply move in. He snap calls with ace-10, and after sweating two cards, we take down a big pot against top pair.
Hey Beavis, ace-10.
So now we're in level 2, 35 minutes into the tournament, and we're in the small blind. Folds around to a mid-position player who makes it 150 to go, then it folds around to us in the small blind, where we look down at ace of hearts, queen of spades. Now, I would normally say there are two ways to play this. Re-raise and try and take it down right now and avoid playing out of position. Or just call and don't invest a lot in this hand. This time I'm going to opt for the raise and I make it 500. The middle position player calls and we see a flop of 10 of hearts, 4 of diamonds, 6 of spades. It's our action. What do you want to do?
Wow, we did get re-raised and by ace-10.
Yeah, that's a terrible hand. Well, there's only one person in the world that I know plays that hand.
Was I playing against Columbo in this tournament? I don't remember this. Now, of course, you know, I don't usually play ace-10 unless I'm the first to enter the pot and I'm in the middle position or whatever. But, yeah, great, great for him. And, of course, now we know what happens in his next hand. So everyone at the forum can chime in and see what they think. And we'll write down our thoughts this week.
Slip it back in the vault.
Back in the vault. And, unlock it next week.
Next week, we'll see how stupid we are then.
Remember, Sven, our friendly Poker Stars Porsche dealer? Sven's still very excited.
Yeah!
He already knows that Poker Stars players together earn enough VIP points to redeem 5 Porsches every day. What's made him a little more excited is the fact that 5 of our Poker Stars players have already claimed these lovely pieces of German engineering. Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to have left all the other schemes, well, stuck in neutral. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
It's apes time again.
I like the apes.
You like the apes.
Even though I've been totally sucking wind in apes this year.
Yeah, me too. I don't know.
I'm not sure. It was close, but no cigar, and a lot of them this year.
I just play terrible.
Yeah.
I'm just not a good player. I don't even know why I have this freaking show. I'm going to quit. And it's true. You know, I'm just terrible. But the thing about this one is really weird. It's a rebuy. So if I already hate the tournament that I'm going to play in, do I...
Yeah, you get to
I'm already sucking as it is now. Well, no, see, that's the thing. I won't be rebuying in the rebuy. You know, if you knock me out, more power to you. You got my dollar.
But yeah, the next event is going to be August 2nd, 9 p.m.
No, Eastern. No. August 2nd? August 12th.
August 12th.
You misread your own note.
Well, because it's rebuy, I'm going to rebuy that extra one. All right, I'll try it over. August 12th. 9 p.m. Eastern, always on PokerStars.com. Go to AntiUpMagazine.com/apes, AIPS, for all the information. It'll be a $1.10 no-limit hold'em rebuy. This is going to be a crazy, wacky Wild West tournament, I can imagine. And, of course, this Wednesday coming up, 9 p.m. Eastern on PokerStars, will be our free-roll satellite. We have absolutely no idea how this thing will be structured. The best guess is that probably 154 players will win a $1 seat in the next one.
Jeez.
Which would be roughly about half the fuel that we normally get in the satellite.
I'm thinking of registering for it and then not playing in it. I mean, I'm pretty sure I'll get in the top 154 if I don't do anything.
Just sit out and see whether you can survive. Yeah. Interesting.
So, I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to spend all night for a dollar? I don't think so. So I may just sit in, and if that's not the way they do it, if they only give money, I don't know what they're going to do, but that's what I'm going to do.
Interesting, interesting. But, yes, before all these, we always like to do our power tips.
Yeah, in anticipation of this, we've put our heads together and realized that wasn't a good idea, separately we did this.
Still not a very big head. Well, I mean, it's a huge head. It shouldn't have a very big brain.
All right, well, since you went first for Columbo, I'll go first for the tips. How's that sound? Here's what... Now, unlike me, if you're going to take it seriously, okay, and you want to win, you should rebuy and add on as much as you can. You want to at least do the add-on and, you know, rebuy. If you're going to, you know, don't stop rebuying until either you're broke or until you're... No, I'm just kidding. But really, if you're going to take it seriously and you want to try to win it, you're going to get a lot of chips on your table. Rebuy until the rebuy period's over and then take the add-on, so...
Yeah, people are going to be playing crazy, so if you're going in there with just your $1, it's not an optimal way of playing. No, there's probably some ways around that, but generally speaking, you should set your budget ahead of time and be willing to spend freely.
Yeah, spend freely. Think about it like it's a $10 tournament and you want to rebuy 9 more times, because that's probably what the price
is. A normal Apes is $5, so if you plan to rebuy four times or three times in an hour.
And the entire rebuy goes into the tournament, and there's no more rake or anything, so... you know, you're building a nice little prize pool for yourself if you do rebuy anyway. So,
absolutely.
Anyway, that's my first tip.
All right. Very similar. I say you need to feel out your opponents. Find out who's willing to rebuy like Daniel Negreanu and who's put their last dollar on earth into this tournament because they're going to play differently.
Yeah.
If you find those crazy folks that are just going to shove with everything, you need to be careful. You definitely don't want to bluff those guys because that money's going in the middle.
Yeah.
But if you find the guy out there who's like, you know what, I'm putting $1 in and...
that's me.
Go home. Yep.
Yep.
Then you can kind of run over those guys.
Yeah, you guys can run me over. By all means, bluff me. Do whatever you want because I'm not rebuying. I don't have any money in the account to rebuy with.
But you know, I see this a lot in rebuy tournaments. People just go crazy on the first hand, and I don't see a reason to go crazy in the first, even the first orbit. I mean, figure out who are the crazy folks and who are the crazy folks.
Well, if we're all figuring out who the crazy folks are.
Second orbit, then you can start being a crazy guy you are.
But if everyone takes your advice that we're not going to know who the crazy person is because everyone's sitting around waiting to see who the crazy person is. So
smart.
You're just delaying the inevitable, so just let them do what they want. All right, here's my second tip. Go all in with any two cards that are paint before the flop. Unless there's a big re-raise in front of you, then you should fold. Any two cards that are painted, good enough to go all in if you're going to follow the first point I gave you of rebuying.
Wow.
I like
pretty
that.
Pretty loose and wild, man.
There you go, baby. I'm telling you, it's a good strategy. Look it up. Look it up.
Where would I look it up?
I don't know. Put in rebuy strategy.
Rebuydonks.com.
Not loldonkaments.com. No, really. I mean, look it up. You'll find people saying that. You know, it's a good strategy if you're like the first one into the pot or first one to raise. Shove with those two cards and take a chance. If not, you're going to rebuy anyway.
Well, certainly. I mean,
this is all during the rebuy period, by the way.
Exactly. I mean, and rebuys, you know, get a lot of money on the table. So if you play too timidly when the rebuy period's over, there's going to be some monster stack.
Yeah.
So, you know, all right. I'll give you a little bit on that one. All right, my second one. The rebuy option lets you make those calls that are tough and freeze out events, but it doesn't give you license to make stupid calls. like pushing all in with two paint cards. No,
that's not a call. That's a shove.
But no, I mean, one of the bigger transitions for players that haven't done rebuy tournaments is, you know, you get that flush draw, and like, God, I really want to make this call, but
yeah,
it doesn't make sense. I don't want the pot odds. You know, a rebuy tournament, you know, you never know. You might be up against a bluff or something like that. Make that call, and then if you're wrong, then, hey, another buck and you're back in. You're not
dead. Right. And usually if you're doing it with your normal stack size or under your stack size, then you're just going to get the same amount of chips for a dollar later anyway, so what's the big deal, you know? So
if somebody pushes in and you have a 7-deuce offsuit and you have nothing on there, don't say, hey, it's a rebuy tournament. Maybe we'll get lucky and hit running sevens.
Well, you know, you're probably only be a 60-40 dog against me because I'm just doing it with two paint cards. So maybe you do want to do it with 7-deuce. Who knows? All right, my last tip is, and you would think it's a pretty understood one, universal, but I've seen it happen. Don't forget to revert to your normal strategy once the rebuy period is over.
Yes, when they cashier closes up, goes home, and you're pushing all in with any two paint cards. Guess what?
You're in trouble.
You're gone.
Yeah. And you got huge stacks that have you covered likely anyway. Yep. So, always go back to the way you normally would play poker after that with the surrounding circumstances.
Very good.
You'd be surprised. Just like when you're playing Raz and then it changes to stud and people are playing, or whatever. So you got to remember what you're doing.
Very nice. I'll give you 2 out of 3 in your tips.
Oh, that'd thanks. Nice. You don't like the paint one, huh? Yeah. I'll sell you on the car ride home.
All right. Okay. All right. My final tip, very related. Look for the crazies who do not revert to normal playing style after the rebuy period is over. Make them pay with your big hands. Of course, like I said, I mean, sometimes you get in that zone, you're juiced, and you're like, oh, this is great. I'm going to push every hand. And then the rebuy period is over, and you're like, hey, Maya, I'll keep pushing.
It worked before.
So you can isolate those players. You get your big hand, and you push all in, and boom.
Hey, it worked before, it'll work now.
Exactly.
Might as well shove. All right, so take those tips to heart, but not too seriously because it's a rebuy tournament. You know, you got to feel your way through them. And good luck in the free roll and good luck in the actual event. You're only going to get a dollar out of me, though.
You'll get a lot more out of me, probably.
Hey, this is Hoyt Corkins, and I'm listening to Ante Up.
Omaha High Hand this week.
You know, we haven't had one of those.
We haven't.
Is it PLO or is it just Omaha High?
That is a good question.
I guess we'll find out when we see what kind of bets are being made.
Yeah. I will apologize in advance for our good friend Mark, who goes by Big Blue.
Big Blue.
And I'm hoping that means he's not from Michigan.
Ooh.
Maybe he's just,
maybe he's a Giants fan. Big Blue Wrecking Crew. How's that?
Maybe he's, he used to...
Of course, the Giants beat your... Packers, too, so that would make you feel better, I guess.
Maybe he's from that, the blue drummer guys out in Vegas or something. Maybe he's one of them.
Let's just move on, everybody.
But this is a live game. He says it's a friendly one at a local cigar shop.
That's weird.
All right, so he's going to do the best he can with the details, but, remember, when you're live.
Yeah, live, it's tough.
So let's be patient with Mark, and especially with Big Scott. I said, it's a standard buy-in is $20. Blinds are usually start and stay at a quarter 50 cents. It says it's a small buy-in, 40 big blinds, but the game usually has been passed enough to play like a limit. So I guess it is a pot limit.
Okay.
There you go.
All right, here we go.
See? We answered. All right. Our hero had bought in for $20, and he's up to about $70. It's six-handed. Two players have more than $100. Our hero has 70, of course, and the three others have less.
Okay.
All right, got the chip stacks?
Yeah.
All right, ready to go. He's in the big blind. He's dealt 10, 10, XX.
Oh.
Double paired. He's got 10s and Xs.
Dos Equis.
We're going to have to trust that the Xs don't matter here, even though they very well probably
do. If he says later he's got a full house Xs over twos or something.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I'm not going to be too happy.
Well, it's probably because they're probably using three decks. He says it's always a limp family pot, so he checks his option and sees the flop. So checked around.
Totally agree with that.
Yep. Particularly the two X's, if you can't figure out the other two cards, you might as well just check and hope you hit your 10.
Yeah. I mean, you're up against 20 cards right now. All you have is a pair of 10s and nothing to go with it. They're all orphaned. I agree with the check.
All right. $3 in the pot. The flop comes ace-10-8 rainbow.
It's good. But again, you don't want to get too excited, especially since these guys are limpers, and they could easily have aces. You know, middle set is not golden in this game. And now there's still draws. There's wheel draws and Broadway draws. So
there are a lot of draws, and we just had the X's to go with it.
And if all you can do is bet pot, you know, you can only bet $3 anyway. Someone who's got a bunch of draws and redraws, they aren't going anywhere. Of course, all right, do we have suits?
Ace, 10, 8, rainbow.
Rainbow, so it doesn't matter. Flushes aren't coming to play. Okay, right now.
Maybe on turn it will.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, so you're going to revisit the suits on the turn, pal?
Maybe
I don't think you are.
The 7 of X on the turn. Now, you said people, ace could be a likely holding here. I'm going to disagree. Even though it's a passive game with limping, I think aces, people are going to put in some kind of raise.
Okay,
of course,
well, I just,
I have
my
not
impression.
Played in this particular local cigar shop, so I do not know the players, but I would think right now we have the best hand.
Okay, well, I tend
obviously
to agree.
That's the best draw.
I tend to agree. I'm just saying that he did set it up saying it was a friendly, passive game,
right?
And guys may be smart enough to not have to raise if they're in early position with ace-ace,
all right,
you know, so who knows? But, okay, middle set is pretty damn good, though.
All right, but we probably need to figure out where we are.
Yeah, we got
to
bet
very
out.
Quickly. All right, the small blind check, so comes to us. We need to find out what we're going to do. Pot is $3.
I got $70 in front of me. I'm not going to be afraid to bet three, so I'd bet pot.
Bet pot? All right.
That's as most I can bet, yeah.
Exactly. I would do the same. Our hero decides to save a buck back for, the next Cohiba. Bets out $2. He says he figures he's going to win a big pot, but only if he builds it. Ace-ace would have been an exception to everyone limp standards. Ah, see?
All right.
So we got a little more information.
All right, there.
So.
Now we got it. Why didn't you tell me that beforehand so I could have said that?
Well, I mean, that's what Mark, just do what Mark is telling me here.
Come on, Big Blue.
See, people blame me for the hand of me. It's not me. I'm just reading it. Sometimes.
All right.
All right, under the gun calls. We get a folder. We get another caller. And the cutoff, the button raises to 5. And the small blind calls to 5.
Holy cow.
This is not a game I think we can win optimally on.
Wow. I mean,
this is insane.
I don't even know what to do now.
I mean, because we obviously have, I mean, at this point, I guess we could have the second best hand, but more likely we have the best hand here. So we got a bunch of drawers, which is, you can expect, but now we got a razor, and then somebody's going to call 5?
I wonder if we should just call here and see the turn before we get real invested in this hand. What do you think?
Oh, wow. Well,
you would raise, because I know how you play. You'd be like, 20.
Well, the reason I'd want to raise here is we've got a lot of callers which screams draws to me, and I want to get those guys out.
Right.
Even if I'm up against the aces, I mean, I'm probably going to go broke on this hand anyhow, right? And that's the only hand that beats us right now. I want to get these... I want to play this hand heads up. I don't want to play with 4 people.
All right. Well, the other thing, too, is a lot of the stacks were in the $20 range, right? So
that's
true, too. They may just call and be all in, and you're just building a pot for their odds. So Jeez, I don't know what to do here. I know I'm terrible, so we need someone who knows what they're
doing. You know, it's a flop, too, so we got 2 more cards, and we're not going to go anywhere in this hand.
That's why I thought maybe we'd call and then see what the turn brings.
Yeah,
you know, if the turn brings 2 more suits and like a king or a queen or a 4, and somebody's got their wheel draw, and they've made, you know, we can get away from it or at least control the size of the pot. So maybe I just call. I don't know. I'm so nervous about bumping it up now to like 25 or something. So I don't know. I'm going to just call, Scott. I mean, you can do what you want. That's why it's Hand of the Week. We share it. You know, we try to shoulder the burden on me a little bit here once in a while. So I'm going to call and see what the turn brings before I really commit.
Okay. Our hero decides to raise the $10. I think if you're going to raise, you need to raise it more.
That's not a good enough raise.
Probably not going to. Well, you might get one of these, one or two of the $2 limpers out of the way, but the button and small blind aren't going away, so you're guaranteed in 3-way.
Yeah, I guarantee that you're going to get at least 2 callers here.
Not that I'm against guaranteeing 3-ways, but I'd rather heads up in poker than in 3-ways.
A little menage a trois for poker.
All right, so he says he's hoping the button has just 1 ace and the rest are on straight draws or backdoor flush draws that don't get there. I do think some of these people are on draws, but I don't think the 10 bucks is going to get them out. The end of the gun calls to $10. The cutoff calls all in for $8. The button calls, small blind calls. We've accomplished nothing but building big pot.
Oh man! Well, we're shoving on the next card if it's like a 9.
Shoving and praying. All right, 51 players in the pot. 1 player all in.
51 players in the pot. Whoa! That's what she said.
Very nice. Very nice.
Wow. Well played, well played. And it's Omaha, too. Oh, now they truly are playing with 2 decks in this game, aren't they?
Very well played, co-host. All right, $51 in the pot.
That's a big pot.
1 player all in.
Turn is a king.
Oh, I see.
No suit against, or assuming that the king is not a...
You gotta feel like someone has queen jack in this hand. Like ace, king, queen jack.
Yeah, I mean, right? Yeah, I mean, there had to be straights, and they couldn't have been flush.
Yeah, because he has X. He was rainbow, he didn't say.
Exactly. So, yeah, we're definitely behind now.
Oh, man, it's not good. Now we have to pair the board. And we still might not
even win.
Yeah,
we may not even win. We may have to get that one. We may have one outer here to win.
That's right. Like if the ace pairs, you could still lose. Somebody could have ace two or, you know, ace king.
Or if we're up against pocket aces, then we're dead to a 10.
We're really screwed. Dead to a 10, one outer. See, this is why I just called.
This is why I don't play Omaha. I hate the game.
You play it. You just play eight. You play the wussy Omaha game.
Because I always have backup.
I know. You always want
it's like my
safety
insurance
net,
policy.
A little parachute.
All right, small blind checks. And I think we're going to check and go hide under the table.
Yeah, we can't bet out now.
Tail, right?
How could you bet now? $50 in the pot and all you have is a set when there's Broadway out
there. It would be cool if we can check here and get checked around. That's when you get really frustrated.
Yeah. Because then you know you're ahead still.
Maybe.
Probably.
Or you're playing as idiots.
Yeah.
Or both.
Or both. You're ahead and playing idiots.
All right, our hero decides to fire out $10. Ow! Ooh!
Oh. Ah. Even if you're still ahead, it's still not a good bet.
Oh, man. Can you reach over there, Chris, and grab that barf bag for me? Thank you. I don't want to get any... my breakfast on the lovely control panel here at WDA.
If you experience turbulence during the hand of the week, please note there is a barf bag under the chair.
$10 is just, you know, he might as well just rolled it around the cigar that he's smoking and light it, I think, right? I mean, we're not getting away from this hand, but, you know, there's no reason to put money in right now.
Oh, man. You're just opening up a can of worms.
Oof.
All right, what happens?
All right, so he's just with the small bet. He's hoping to catch somebody with ace, king, not queen, jack. Well, you might catch somebody with ace, king, but I guarantee you somebody has queen, jack.
Hopefully it's the $8 all-in guy,
yes,
and you're
going
to get a side pot with some other idiot who has ace, deuce.
That would be good. All right, the end of the gun calls $8. He's all in now.
Jeez.
The button calls the $10. Small blind calls the $10. No raises yet, so maybe the strong hands are the all-ins.
I think someone's got Broadway in their soul playing it. They want to get as much money as possible.
Well, yeah. Again, we don't know suits, so I mean, there's four suits out there. We don't have to worry about the flush, and then we're good to go.
And since we never know about
the board pairs, but still, even then, even in Omaha, I don't like the slow play.
No,
the straights. I mean, because you know,
no, especially
pairs,
not the straights.
Done.
Straights are brutal in Omaha.
So at this point, I'm really confused what the button the small blind has, but I do believe we're behind the all in. So there might be still a chance to recoup some of our money without hitting on the river.
All right, let's go to the river.
All right. $89 in the pot. $89, not
$89. Wow.
River is a king.
All right. Well, we filled up, but we could have a lot of the worst hands now. We filled up, but yeah, we're not afraid of Broadway anymore, but we're afraid of ace king. We're afraid of kings. We're afraid of aces. Somebody could have kings.
Yeah, I mean, and the draws, too, could be two pair. I mean, you know, a friendly game, a lot of people could have two pairs, and now they voted up, too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm not particularly excited about the king.
No. I mean, I'm happy that I've beaten the Broadway draw.
Yeah.
But we still could be behind, so I'll take it. I don't think we're behind to the guys who are all in. How's that sound?
All right. Yes. I think
but
you're right.
The guys who are still in the
pot. I
think pot
you're correct.
Could
I think
have been
those players are putting their coats on getting ready to leave.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. The small blind bets out $20.
Yeah, that's not good. Small blind's been check calling the whole way. Now he bets into you.
Oh man!
Unless he could have a set of deuces, and then made it boat.
That is true.
That's the only thing you're gonna have to make a crying call here because the pot's so big.
Yeah, the pot is what it was $89 before that.
Yeah, so now it's 100.
We still got a player behind us. So get more in. Oh man!
I'm not raising.
You know, this is one of those things where the crying call is tough. I mean, it's still.
There's so much money out there, Scott.
Yeah,
you have a full house.
I know.
You know, I realize it's an under full to a couple of hands, but really.
It's certainly a bet that makes me mutter under my breath.
Yeah, I'm not happy about it, but I have to call. I can't raise, obviously, so I have to call this. There's so much out there. It's $110 out there. I mean, you're getting, and you just bet, you just call 20, right? $20 bet?
Yeah, so
I mean, you're getting 5.5 to 1 on your money.
But we still got a player to act behind us.
Yeah, you know what? There's so much money. What am I going to do, fold? I have to call and see what that guy does. I can't imagine both guys have better boats than me, so I have to call.
Okay, very good. The button raises all in for $60.
Yeah, we're losing all our money on this hand. What a terrible hand of the week. It's a great one, but it's terrible for him.
He also says the button, as he moved all in for $6, comments about having the nuts, which would be pocket kings, which is not likely, considering this is played out.
Pocket aces are nuts.
No, there's two kings on the board.
Oh, it's two kings on the board. Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. Yeah. Paired the kings. Yeah, quads. Yeah, I don't think he's got the quads. He'd bet more on the turn if he had quads. Right?
Right. There are two kings on the board, right?
Yeah. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, the board paired with the king. So, yeah. Yeah, he'd bet more on that turn when he made his
And the reason I
set,
say that,
probably.
Because our hero said he only loses to ace, king, ace, ace, and king 10. Wrong.
Pocket kings.
Unless we had a king in our hand. No, but
and
we didn't
deuce.
Have a
king. He loses to king
we
deuce,
had 10,
too.
10 X in our hand. So.
Loses to king deuce, too.
Yeah.
All right, well, we got a call.
All right, well, get this. A small blind whines and folds. I tell you, this game, I would go over to this game, and I would just smoke the cigar.
And just watch.
I am not getting into this game at
all. Wow, this is brutal.
I don't know how you bet out 20 on the river like that and then fold.
So you have to call 40 to win like 100 and almost 200. You're still getting 5-1 on your money. You got to call, right? I mean, how brutal is this?
All right, so now our hero whines, but he calls his last 30. I'll give him credit for donating 30 here rather than running like the small blind.
Yeah, yeah.
The button shows ace-king.
Yeah.
Ace-king. Full house, runner-runner.
Yeah. But
collects all three pots.
Well, we have to wonder what the other two cards were, too, wondering if he had ace-king-deuce something and had two
that's
pair.
True.
You know. But yeah, you had to know you were behind. But at that point, there's so much money in the pot, and you have a full house. You know, people could be misplaying their hands. It seems like it's a weak game, so they could have been misplaying ace-deuce or whatever, and wow, tough luck. Well, there's one thing that will make it palatable for him, and that is that we're going to send him something really nice.
We are. We are going to send him a lovely deck of DB Dealer playing cards that he can take to the local cigar shop. They have the flames on them
flames
already,
on them. Yes.
So they kind of match the whole
light up
going
your cigar
down in flames.
Ace of hearts.
That you get. In this very, very crazy game. That might have been the craziest game for Hand of the Week that we've had in a long time.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. Big pot.
I cannot play against those people.
Big pot. The guy didn't have the nuts, though. He was lying.
Yeah.
He didn't have the nuts. Yeah. Liar.
It wasn't even close. He had, like, the third nuts.
How dare you play poker with liars?
Yes.
Well, another good show. Good luck in the rebuy events. Can't wait to see what happens in the free roll. I won't be there, but tell me how it goes. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the tables. Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.